I'm not mocking anybody who might take a different approach on Mother's Day, but I'm really not one that will devote an entire message to how to be a good mom, because I am isolating a good chunk of people in here who are not moms, not female, and not yet adults. And so I always try to share messages that everybody can benefit from, but I like to focus on certain characters, like on Mother's Day or Father's Day, that really speak to us in a powerful way. And today is no exception here. This morning, I want to take a look at a story that Jesus told, a parable that Jesus told, of a woman who refused to give up. A woman who refused to give up. Now, here's something that I've learned. And I really don't have chapter or verse necessarily to prove this, but there is something special about mom prayers. When mom prays for you, okay, extra angels have been sent in at her dispatch. It's just, it's something. And I always try to encourage moms who might be praying for their adult children, who might be away from the Lord. I always try to encourage moms who might be a little bit discouraged with their family or their children. Mom, just keep praying. Don't give up. Don't give up. But I will tell you that that is actually the message for each and every one of us here today. Don't give up. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 18 to illustrate how important it is for us to never give up in prayer. Today I want to talk to people who might be discouraged in prayer. Anybody ever had that experience, or am I the only one? Okay, four of us. That's great. Next Sunday's sermon is on lying. No. We find ourselves there. We pray about something, we believe God for something, and the results aren't necessarily what we'd hoped for. We don't see what we really want to see. And so Jesus tells a story. It just takes six verses to tell it, and it's a pretty powerful example of what we can do when we find ourselves discouraged in prayer. I want to take a look at this woman in this passage, in this story that Jesus told, and show you what we can do when we find ourselves discouraged in prayer. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word as we look at this together? In Luke chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go actually to verse 8. I mistakenly said it was six verses. It's actually eight verses, but I'll make it feel like six. Here we go. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." Some of you are like, "You just described my home life." I'm kidding. Verse 6, "And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. God, on this Mother's Day, I'm excited to share a message, Jesus, that is from a story you told of a persistent widow who refused to give up in prayer. And now, Lord, I'm asking that your words would penetrate our hearts and our spirits and our minds, that you would encourage us today before we leave here to know what your word has to say, and that you would heal discouragement in Jesus' name. And we love you and we thank you in your name, and we all said amen. You may be seated. So these moments can really be interesting in the life of a believer. I've been fortunate to work in church ministry now for almost 30 years. In fact, tomorrow will be the 29th year that I've been doing this full-time ministry thing. And here's what I've seen. If there's anything that many people have a hard time dealing with, processing, is discouragement in their prayer life. When they have prayed for something and the answer they feel does not come, or the answer that they get is not what they wanted. Moms ever get a bad Mother's Day gift? Yeah, you're not going to say it here, but you know. You know, where maybe they just missed the mark. Or Christmas present, it just... I remember when we first got... it's so embarrassing. I remember we first got married, and at early in our marriage, and actually when my wife was single, she collected teddy bears like crazy. She just had this huge teddy bear collection. Really, you know, real cute and all that. And I thought, well, okay, all right. So let's for Christmas, let's buy her a cute teddy bear. And I found one that I thought was so cute. It held a surfboard, had swimming trunks, sunglasses on. I thought, this is awesome, beach bear. Big hubby points again, because I have found this cute little bear. And we even videoed it. I should have brought the video, but we even videoed it where I gave her the bear. I said, oh, Merry Christmas, honey. And it wasn't her only gift that year. But it's like, here's your beach bear. And, oh, I love it. Thank you. And she immediately looked at the back of it, and I thought, well, she must be checking the tag or something like that. Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you the truth when I say that it wasn't 10 years later, after the presentation of that gift, that I discovered it was not a bear, it was a beaver. It wasn't the surfboard, it was his tail. It was just, I thought, well, that's weird. Totally missed the mark. And to this day, she'll bring up beach beaver. You know, it's just like, So when I tell you that I bought her golf balls today, believe me, that was a step up from beach beaver. Thank you. That's so embarrassing. Now, why do I share that? Well, for the cheap laugh, obviously, but more than that, I share that because sometimes I think we feel that we've received a beach beaver from God. God, I want this. I want that. Oh, please, God, I'm praying for this. I'm praying for this. I wasn't expecting a beaver. I wasn't expecting this. God, I need you to bless me financially. I wasn't expecting a job. I just... Where's the winning Powerball ticket in my mailbox? That's what's supposed to happen, God. I've got it all planned. And sometimes we want an answer from God, but it's gift-wrapped in a way that we don't want or expect. Sometimes we pray that God would heal us, and he certainly takes his time in doing so. Sometimes we want God just to take away pain, and for some reason we still deal with that. And we're not sure why. And we don't process that well. And I will tell you, folks, that today, all across our country, there are many people who are not in church today because of this very reason, because the answer to their prayers was not what they wanted, it's not what they expected, and they don't know why that there's this delay, they don't know why it's come the way that it is, they certainly don't know why they got beach bear. So how do we process? Should have found beach bear, put him on the screen. That would be good. How do we deal with beach bear? How do we deal with those times of discouragement in prayer? What do we do? Well, Jesus used this very scenario as he told the story about this woman who went to a judge, actually an unjust judge, many portions of scripture will say. And if you're discouraged at all today in your prayer life, and it's really doing a number on you, or maybe it hasn't yet, but you could see that the potential's definitely there, this is for you today. And I want to give you four quick instructions that I think can really help you turn your discouragement into something much, much better than what you're feeling right now. Number one. Let's recognize the reason. How come my prayers aren't being answered? Why is there this delay? Why am I getting this kind of answer? Well, let's recognize who's all behind your torment, okay? Because here's the knee-jerk reaction. The knee-jerk reaction for a lot of us is to get mad at God. Because we still feel uncomfortable, because we still feel bad, because our life is still a bit of a mess, because things have not been restored yet. And so instead of being angry at the one who's causing all of this, we get angry at the one who potentially could fix it, but he hasn't done it yet. It's like being mad at the fire department because your house caught on fire. You could have got here sooner. You could have. If you would have done it the way that I wanted you to, this would have worked. Boy, sounds like stuff I've heard. You could have. Really have. Why didn't this happen? Well, how about the crazy guy with the match and the gas can who set your house on fire to begin with? See, I fear that there's a lot of people where their frustration and their anger is targeted in the wrong place. Look at verse 3. Look what she said to the judge. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." Now, this might seem like common sense to you, but hear me. The source of the woman's problem was not the judge. It was her adversary. Let me say it again. The source of the woman's problem was not the judge. It was the adversary. The source of your problem is not God. It's your adversary. That's where the problem is. That's the source of your misery. And again, I can't tell you how many people's anger has been directed at God because their request was not answered in the way or in the time that they wanted to. Again, many people have walked away from the faith because of that. Maybe you're one of those. You might find yourself in a church service today, but you know that there's a big distance between you and God. You're not nearly as close to God as you used to be. And if you were honest with yourself and honest with your God, you would look back and you would say, you know what, it was when this prayer request didn't come through the way I wanted it to. I wanted him to change everything and it didn't happen. I wanted him to fix it. It didn't get fixed. I wanted that person to come back to Jesus. They didn't. I literally heard one guy who was really facing financial problems, he stood up and he said, "I can't believe God allowed me to buy that expensive car." Serious? But that's what we do. We tend to try to process these things the wrong way. But let me point out to you that we have a very real adversary today. Don't point. It's not your husband. We have a very, it's not your teenage child, although this is close. What your real adversary today is the devil. I'm not a demon under every rock kind of pastor, okay? If you sneeze, I'm not going to rebuke a demon of colds, okay? You have hay fever, okay? So let's quit giving the devil credit for stuff that he really doesn't deserve credit for, okay? But on the flip side, to ignore that we have an adversary is just as spiritually ignorant. John 10:10, Jesus describes our adversary, the devil, this way. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And by the way, that's all he does. He doesn't come to bless you first and then trick you. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There is nothing good about going the way of our adversary. Nothing. There's nothing good about trying to follow a path or follow a way that is different than God's way of doing things. Because the only agenda that the enemy has for us is to steal, is to kill, and to destroy. So Jesus said, but I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. King James says they might have life more abundantly. John 8:44, again, Jesus' words. He says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. See, all this stuff that you're hearing in your heart, you're not hearing voices, you're not crazy. It's the enemy trying to trick you with his lies. The enemy is trying to convince you that God is anything but what his word says that he is. So if you're hearing God doesn't love you, that's a lie. If you're hearing that God won't forgive you, that is a lie. If you hear that God's not hearing your prayers, that is a lie. If you're hearing that God doesn't care about you, that you're just one of 7 billion people and he doesn't have time for you, that is a lie. This is why we have to know the truth, because it's the truth that will set us free. The devil is a liar. We cannot live in the lies. Let me say that again. Do not live in the lies. There are many great people in churches today that are living on the lies. Don't believe the lies. What else does the Bible say? 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And finally, Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, even the source of your misery is not that person. Your adversary is not your spouse. Your adversary is not your mom or dad. Your adversary is not that government official. Your adversary is not your congressman or your senator, whatever you want to call it. Your adversary is not somebody who abused you or hurt you in the past. That is not your adversary. You've got to see the big picture. Your adversary is the devil. So today, please, I'm begging you, don't blame God for your bad circumstances today. If you're discouraged, don't blame God. Don't blame God. He still loves you. He still cares for you, and that will never stop. Number two, what's the second instruction I think God would have for us today? It'd be to persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. Now look what the judge says. This made some of you laugh while I was reading it. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. So first of all, let's get this out of the way. This is not a biblical mandate to start nagging. Okay? So don't be sending me emails. You know, my wife's doing now because of your sermon, Bubba. Thanks a lot. She won't get off my back. And that's not what this scripture says, okay? And it's not like we're nagging God here. In fact, we're gonna see just the opposite. We're not getting on God's nerves because we're praying. Not at all. Here's what Jesus is saying in the scripture. Jesus is saying that there is something powerful that takes place when we persist in prayer. I've heard really good people that have said this to me. Well, I prayed my prayer. Now I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to pray about it anymore. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea. Now, listen, there's some bad teaching out there that suggests that unless you say the right pattern of words, God cannot and will not act on your behalf. Come on. Do you actually think that God says, oh, I'd love to help them, but they didn't get the prayer right? Bummer. Flat tire, flat tire, flat tire. Not what happens. See, here's the deal. When we pray, even if your circumstances don't change, you will change. Okay, hear me again. When we pray, your circumstances may not even change, but you change. See, that's why prayer is not just asking God for stuff. God, give me this, 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 and a pony. Amen. Prayer is more than that, because what happens when I spend time in God's presence and I am praying to Him, what is taking place? My heart and my life and my mind are being molded and conformed to become more like Him. There's a change that even if my circumstances don't change, even if I don't see healing right away, even if I don't see money right away, even if I don't see the tangible things that I want to see right away, there's something going on the inside of me while I pray. And that's why we need to persist in prayer. Some people are like, how in the world can you not just hate that person for mistreating you? Well, it's because I'm praying for them. Because it's hard to pray for someone that you hate, and it's hard to hate someone you pray for. Prayer changes you. You don't see things necessarily just from your perspective. You begin to see them from God's. I was at the store yesterday, Saturday afternoon. Wonderful time to be at any store. Oh. And I was in a particular store. It's not the one where you have to wear your pajamas to get in, but it was close. It was close. And I'm walking. I had to get a memory card for all the pictures that we took for the church. And so I'm walking, and I got my stuff. I'm ready to go to the store. I'm not kidding. This seriously happened. All my stories are true. Anyway, and so I'm watching this. And this little girl is in the cart, and her grandma was pushing. At least I think that's what, because certainly she didn't pull this thing off the counter, because she would have put her back. But this little girl is in the counter, and she's saying, "If I don't get a toy, then I will not be good." And I'm like, and literally the first time I heard it, I was like 5 feet away. And as soon as she said, "I won't be good," I went, "Ha!" They both look at me, and I'm like, "Ooh." Just shopping for Milky Ways, sorry. And she kept on insisting. I mean, she said it over and over and over and over again. I thought, where is the aisle where they keep the satanic toys? Because apparently that's where she came from. And this adorable little angel just kept on saying this over and over and over again. I thought, oh my word. And I thought, this is crazy. This is crazy. She's basically trying to extort her grandmother with her many requests to get her to change and to give in to her constant nagging and badgering and readiness and everything that was going on. I thought, wow, isn't that's just the opposite of what prayer does. See, because when we present our request to God, we're not saying, God, you better change or I'm not going to serve you. And I better get a toy. God, I better get money or I'm just walking away from you. And some of y'all laugh, but some people are not sitting in these chairs anymore in the last 16 years exactly because of that. And we're trying to threaten God. Who are we to tell God what to do? Listen, when we pray, what needed to happen in that cart, there's a lot of things that needed to happen in that cart. But what needed to happen in that cart was the girl's behavior needed to change. That's what needed to take place. She needed to realize that the blessing comes from acting the right way. We need to realize that when we pray to God and we do it over and over and over again, we might be wanting something else. We might even be making our demands to God, but we need to understand that if we're in that valley of discouragement, maybe, just maybe, there's something in our lives that God wants to change in us. Perhaps there's something God wants to do in us before he does anything for us. And that could be the greatest miracle you see take place. Number three. Y'all should go to the store with me. It is fun. The people watching is just the best than airports. Here we go. Number three. See the Savior. We need to see the Savior through all this. The problem many of us have is that we focus on the unanswered prayer and not whom we're praying to. We focus on the result, not the result giver. Let me say that again. We make a mistake if our focus in our prayer is the result and not the result giver. That's why I say, are you able to seek God's face without seeking his hand? Are you able just to be in God's presence without even asking for a thing? That's not easy. That's not easy. Verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, well, not God. Now he's making the payoff here. He's saying, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, here, Jesus makes it clear that he is the exact opposite of the judge in this story. He's a just God. I didn't say he's just God. He is a just God. He knows what's right. He knows what's fair. Isaiah tells us that his ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. We can't really figure God out sometimes. Why? Because he's God. And you're not. He's God. You're not. And that's okay. I told somebody one time in my dating life, I broke up with this girl for religious reasons. She thought she was a God. Anyway. He's a very just God. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 says, God is just. Look at the part that I underlined. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Let me also say, as we're looking towards the Savior, that Jesus is never bothered by our prayers. Please don't ever preface your prayers by saying, God, I hate to bug you. God, I know it's been since finals in college, but God, I know it's been a while, but please, don't apologize to God for talking to him. You're not bugging him. is not like he's saying, whoa, 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 wait, sorry, got a lot going on in the Middle East. Have you not watched the news? Come back at me tomorrow. That's not what he says. We can come to him at any time. Matthew 7:7, Jesus' own words. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And the Lord is able to answer all of your prayers. All of them. Book of Jeremiah 32 says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing is too hard for you. You're going to a God, as we said during our singing today, our God is able. We're not going to a limited God. We're not going to a God who's, oh, I hope so. God has a plan. And he's able to do more than you can even ask or imagine. I'm going to close with this. And to those of you who look at each other and say, that means nothing, okay. Be healed, would you? Finally, find yourself faithful. Find yourself faithful. This is important, so don't check out on me here. However, when the Son of Man comes, verse 8 says, will he find faith on the earth? What's the message here today? Don't give up. Stay faithful in prayer. Stay faithful in prayer. Paul Harvey told a funny story. It's another grocery store story, but here we go. About a three-year-old boy who went to the grocery store with his mom. And even before they enter the grocery store, parents, have you ever done this? You have to lay down the rules before you walk into the grocery store. It's like, okay, we are not getting this, 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 or this, okay? Oh, this was taking place. Now you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, she said, so don't even ask. Don't even ask. And so she put him in the cart, and he sat in the little kid's seat while she was wheeling him down the aisles, and he was doing fine until they got near the cookie section. He saw the chocolate chip cookies, and he stood up in the seat, and he said, Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? And she said, I told you not to even ask. You're not going to get any at all. So he sat back down. They went down all the aisles, but when they were searching for different things, they kind of had to make another turn, and there's the cookies again. And he stands up and says, Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? Mom says, no, I told you that we're not going to do that. You can't have any. He sat back down. No kidding, finally, as they're getting to the checkout lane, the boy sensed that this might be his last chance. True story. So just before they got in the line, he stood up on the seat of the cart and he shouted in his loudest voice, in the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies? And that was the reaction of everybody in the store. Some even applauded the kid. And due to the generosity of all the other shoppers, the kid walked away with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. He didn't give up. Now, I'm not promising you cookies today, although that'd be all right, wouldn't it? But here's what I can tell you. God honors those moments when his sons and his daughters never give up in prayer. Never. And I don't know when your answer is going to take place, but I do know this, an answer is going to take place. And when we commit it to the Lord, it is his very best for us. Don't give up in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. And please, I'm begging you, stay faithful to God. Don't drift away from God because you haven't seen the answer yet. Don't drift away from God because the answer has come wrapped in a way that you never thought it would ever be wrapped. Don't get angry and create distance from God. See, here's the deal. These moments here, they will either create devotion to God or distance from God. They will either create devotion to God and intensify that, or it will intensify your distance from God. It's up to you as to which one takes place. Some of us, we've not recovered from that unanswered prayer, quote unquote. We've never recovered from that result that we did not want or like. We've never recovered. And today is the day for you to turn that around. Today is the day for you to realize that God still has you. He's got you in the palm of his hands. He has his answer. His ways are way higher than yours. His thoughts are way higher than yours. You may not even get it, but guess what? You don't have to. All you have to do is trust God. Just trust God, but don't give up. My message to each and every one of us on this Mother's Day, don't give up in prayer. Don't give up on God. Will you stand with me? Did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. Ralph, if you could help me, that would be amazing. I want to talk to people. There's two types of people I want to pray for today. Okay? Number one, I want to talk to those and pray for those who are really discouraged in prayer right now. You're in that valley right now. It's not a thing in your history, it's in your present. And you're fighting discouragement, whether it be about your family, a job, your finances, your health. I mean, the list can go on and on. I want to pray a prayer over you today that God would turn your discouragement into devotion, that he would turn your frustration and give you your joy back, because he is listening and he has his answer for you at just the right time. But number two, I want to pray for those who, that's in your history, and you've never been the same spiritually since. It's been downhill since that moment. And you can name that moment. Maybe nobody else knows that moment, but you can name that moment. God is here to restore you today. He's not mad at you. He doesn't want to get even with you. He wants to wrap his arms around you and let you know, I'm here. Let's start over. Let's start over. So could we all bow our heads in prayer? And just so, I won't embarrass anybody, just so I know whom to pray for, how many of you, you're going through that season right now. It's discouraging right now. And you just need God to give you that encouragement. Oh, hands are already going up. Are there others? I'm right there, Pastor. I'm right there. I just need God to be the glory and the lifter of my head again. I need some extra strength today. I need him to turn my discouragement into encouragement. You can put your hands down. Are there others? That's my present right now, Pastor. That's my life right now. I got to go home to this. God wants to touch you today. He has your answer. Is there anyone here today? You could point back in your history and say, that was the moment. Things didn't go well. Things weren't answered correctly in the way I wanted them to. And I have not been as close as I used to be since then. A distance has come between me and God because of this season in my past. I don't know how far in your past it is, but Jesus is here to heal your past and give you a hope and a future. You're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I just need to make some changes. I want that walk with God that I used to have. And I might not even get him. I might not even understand him. I don't even know why things have happened, but I just want to trust him again. If that's you, could you slip your hand up too? I want to pray for you that God would start you back that a U-turn would take place in your spiritual journey, and he would start you back in the way that you used to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Lord wants to do a great work here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to this message. Pastor, how do we do that? Can I challenge you before you go on with the rest of your day? And a lot of us got some great things scheduled, I know. Can you take some moments to talk to your righteous judge, your Savior, and say, God, just restore my strength and my joy. God, let's start over. God, I really need you to answer this prayer, but help me not to be discouraged. Whatever that prayer is that you need to pray, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get along with him. You can come to this altar area and kneel and pray. Maybe you're more comfortable praying at your seat, but will you take the time to pray to him before you go about the rest of your day and show some tenacious faith? I'm going to pray. If God's released you, you can be dismissed after I say amen. You can grab your pictures on the way out. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. I believe that you've given us a very timely word today. There are many here, Lord God. They are right now in a season of discouragement. I'm asking you now, Lord God, that you'd remind us that you are close to the brokenhearted, and you bind up their wounds. And God, we may not even understand what's going on, but Lord, we could certainly trust you because you know better. So Lord, I pray, I come against discouragement, and I pray that you would turn it into encouragement. May we see you, not our struggle. May we see our Savior through all this. And Lord, I pray for those who maybe have drifted from you because of a past season just like this. Lord, would you reach that person now and touch them, Lord God. Turn them around. May they turn around and pursue you with all their heart. God, I love you. Meet with your people, I pray. Thank you for the day that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to pray, feel free to do so right now. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. Happy Mother's Day.